From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Rachel Miro. A new report charges that the head of the Environmental Protection Agency initially supported giving California permission to set tighter limits on tailpipe emissions from trucks and cars, but was pressured by the Bush administration not to. The most damaging evidence of that interference in the decision comes from a deposition by a deputy associate administrator at the EPA. California Deputy Attorney General Mark Poole says that deposition revealed new information.
That the administrator's decision or mind had changed after having discussions with representatives at the White House. So there's certainly a strong implication that there was some foul play.
Poole says that revelation strengthens California's case for reversing the EPA's decision. The new congressional report comes from an oversight committee chaired by L.A. Representative Henry Waxman. A spokesman for the White House denies any efforts to block giving California permission to independently regulate greenhouse gases. Arnold Schwarzenegger is known for being an optimistic guy, but his newest ideas on how to solve the state's enormous budget deficit may be too optimistic. That's the assessment of the legislature's nonpartisan budget analyst. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers explains.
Since becoming governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger has found a tough critic in legislative analyst Elizabeth Hill when it's come to his unusual ideas for balancing the state budget. This year is no different. On Monday, the nonpartisan analyst said the showpiece of the governor's plan to find extra revenue, borrowing $15 billion to be paid back with future profits from the California lottery, is the wrong plan. Elizabeth Hill told reporters it's not the actual selling of lottery revenue bonds that's the problem, it's the size of the bond offering.
We do think it's possible to hit the $15 billion, but we think that it is pretty risky to get there because of the aggressive assumptions on profits and sales.
The governor's plan hinges on doubling the current profits of the lottery. And if that doesn't happen and revenues come up short, Schwarzenegger's formal proposal says investors will get their share of the profits, but public schools may not. Not surprisingly, the Schwarzenegger administration disagrees with any suggestion they are overly optimistic or that education money from the lottery could be in jeopardy. Fred Klass is a budget analyst for the governor.
We don't feel the same level of risk for education, but the governor has said that, you know, should it turn out that the money is short, that he will seek the money for education to make up the difference.
That could mean as much as $1 billion will have to come from somewhere else in the state budget. Instead, legislative analyst Hill is suggesting lawmakers consider a scaled-down borrowing of money against future lottery revenues to ease the pressure on making the lottery more profitable. Of course, even a smaller bond offering will force a major expansion of the lottery's reach, and any expansion has some worried about the social cost of more and more gambling. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
Unless you work in the high-tech industry, the Indus Entrepreneurs may be one of the most influential business groups you've never heard of. The organization is now in its 16th year of helping to raise the profile of Indian Americans in Silicon Valley. Now, it's setting its sights on reaching entrepreneurs throughout the world. Juan Ha reports.
Should we use this whole sheet? Is that what we usually do?
Sheetal Mehta gingerly unfurls white wrapping tissue and places a new baby's pacifier into the folds. Mehta and her husband are packing samples from their company, Generation Orange, which sells natural products for kids. When she launched the company 6 months ago, the 27-year-old didn't have a clue about running a retail business, so she turned to one of the most well-known networking groups in Silicon Valley, the Indus Entrepreneurs, for help.
It's been super helpful in terms of growing the company, especially, you know, business strategy. That's something, so figuring out just sort of basic things, like what do I do next? Okay, now I'm live. How do I bring people to my site? How are people going to actually buy things?
The Indus Entrepreneurs, or TIE, as it's commonly called, is a place where those with startup ambitions get guidance and sometimes funding from seasoned entrepreneurs and prominent venture capitalists. The group estimates its members have created more than 1,000 companies and have pumped at least $250 billion into the Silicon Valley economy over the past decade. TIE's success speaks to the important role Indian American entrepreneurs play in high tech. But that achievement didn't come easy.
There was a certain level of skepticism about the abilities of Indo-Americans to lead in management positions and to run big companies.
Kailash Joshi was one of TIE's co-founders.
And so the VCs would be asking, you know, okay, so this is your idea, you're the techie, who is your, and they would expect a non-Indus, mostly a white individual perhaps, to be the partner who would be the CEO. And that attitude was kind of frustrating.
But now, more than a quarter of Silicon Valley tech companies are run by Indian Americans, according to a study by Duke University. And high on the list of many entrepreneurs is getting FaceTime with venture capitalists and experienced executives.
Why would somebody who's already successful want to spend time trying to understand the problems of some struggling entrepreneur?
Raj Jaswa is Thai's current president.
And the Thai network, that's a part of our culture, that successful folks have to listen and provide them the guidance and the game plan.
Beyond advice, many of the group's senior members also invest money in the young companies they mentor. Many of those investments have paid off. But the inside deal-making is an informal part of Thai, its leaders say. Mentoring is its mission.
Hey, Sheetal, I know we've been talking a little bit about your company and the crossroads at which you are in terms of which direction.
Sheetal Mehta is getting a mentoring session with Manish Chandra, a CEO who was once a mentee himself. Thai members funded his company, an online shopping site catering to women called Caboodle.
Really, there's just three things that I wanted to sort of talk about today, you know, is how do I sort of drive more traffic and create more sales, the competition, and then really just what's the next step? Like, how do I take this to the next level? And
Mehta represents Thai's goals for the future, bringing in younger entrepreneurs, diversifying its membership beyond South Asians, and reaching those who aren't in the tech industry. The group's leaders are confident that embracing diversity won't curtail opportunities for South Asians. Thai's recent annual conference drew more than 3,500 people, including some new faces. Vadim Kagan came from Maryland by way of Russia. His business tracks opinions in the online world.
This is the premier networking event. Really, what we are looking for is advice more than anything else.
Kagan isn't a Thai member yet. He plans to join. The Indus Entrepreneurs now has 49 chapters worldwide. The Denver chapter president is a white woman who has yet to visit India. For the California Report, I'm Juan Ha.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, May 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California, on the web at calhospitalcompare.org, and the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.